You're listening to SBS News.
In March, Deanne Vowles, her husband Paul and their five children travelled to the United Kingdom for a four-week trip, just 2 days before a travel ban came into effect. 4 weeks turned into 5 months as they decided to stay with family and wait for their rescheduled flight on August the 16th. They are among tens of thousands of Australians abroad trying to get home. Deanne Vowles is a 40-year-old teacher. Her husband is a paramedic. Ms. Vowles told the Senate hearing she was advised by Australian consular officials to set up a GoFundMe page or appeal to relatives for help.
Prior to this year, I've felt nothing but pride and gratitude for being Australian. The values that I hold dear to me and that many Australians hold dear to them, never leaving behind a mate, a fair go for all, is what I believed in and what I've stood for along with the rest of the nation. But when seeking help from my country, I've been told from my fellow countrymen, there's nothing we can do. We get hundreds of calls a day just like yours, so we can't do anything about yours. I have you set up a GoFundMe page. Ask your family and friends for help. This wasn't from a well-meaning stranger or a different country. These were statements from my own fellow Australians working in consulate jobs here in the UK. They have dumped me.
This is the case for more than 26,000 people who have told the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade they want to fly home to Australia. Around 4,000 of them are considered to be in a vulnerable position. A number of witnesses recounted the toll of being stuck abroad during the pandemic at the parliamentary committee examining the government's response to the crisis. Peter Stojanovic-Christie discussed her family's repatriation and travel issues. Ms. Stojanovic-Christie is from Melbourne and explained how her husband Luke and her mother-in-law have been stuck in Serbia. Luke travelled there in July after his father passed away so he could bring his elderly mother, who struggles to speak English, back to Australia. Ms. Stojanovic-Christie fought back tears while explaining her family's situation.
They, at the moment, are stuck in Serbia. After six arduous and very frustrating weeks, my husband was finally granted an exemption on compassionate grounds to travel to assist his mother in returning home. Luke left Australia in July, the day after the announcement of the 4,000 cap. They were due to return home on August 14th. Their fourth rescheduling of flights, now landing in Brisbane, was again changed last Friday, but not to one flight, to two flights. They've separated, my mother-in-law coming home on October the 6th and my husband following 9 days later, if they get on those flights. My mother-in-law's really shy. She's 79. She struggles with the English language. She's vulnerable. She's grieving. I'm shattered.
As a result, Ms. Stojanovic-Christie's mother-in-law faces transit, multiple flights and hotel quarantine on her own. Ms. Stojanovic-Christie also said the cap has abandoned her family and it's abandoned Australian citizens overseas.
I've tried to gain an understanding as to what DFAT are doing with this so-called list of stranded Australians overseas and how the 4,000 vulnerable people are being managed. Is there an order of urgency for these people? Is there a queue? Have we got a number or a place in that queue? Is there anybody or central government department managing this list? And the answer is no, there isn't. We're not citizens of Qatar. We're not citizens of European countries. We're not citizens of America or the UAE. We're Australian.
Simon Duggan from the Department of the Prime Minister and Cabinet says seats and flights are not the issue.
There's approximately 20,000 spare seats of capacity on commercial airlines coming into the country each week at the moment. So it hasn't, the availability of flights has not been the binding constraint on getting Australians home up to this point.
Stephanie Foster from the Department of the Prime Minister and Cabinet says hotel quarantine capability is the main challenge.
The challenge that we're facing relates, as both Ms. Frame and Mr. Duggan have said, to the availability of safe, effective quarantine. And that's not an issue which I believe the COVID Commission
has not on their agenda.
A role to play in, because it's about public health capability.
Lachlan Colquhoun from the Department of the Prime Minister and Cabinet identifies the public health limitations being faced by states and territories.
So the real limiting factor on increasing quarantine capacity is
the availability of trained medical professionals, contractual doctors and nurses. They're just not available at the moment.
Alison Frame from the Department of the Prime Minister and Cabinet says the public health system has been busy responding to outbreaks, clusters and hospital demand.
But we have a public health workforce that are really deeply engaged in COVID-19 responses across the whole country. There are not an abundance of public health professionals who are just idle and ready to be utilised in that respect, but we are actively looking at wherever resourcing might be, how we can assist the states and what capacity the Commonwealth might have to assist further.
But with airlines charging increased ticket prices, many can't afford to pay for a seat. Last week, National Cabinet agreed to increase weekly caps on returning travellers from 4,000 to 6,000 per week. Queensland, Western Australia, New South Wales and South Australia all agreed to a gradual increase to their caps. Labor says that burden should fall on the Commonwealth. Department of Home Affairs Secretary Mike Pezzullo says the government is doing all they can to return Australians as soon as possible. Earlier this month, the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade launched emergency loans for Australians overseas facing financial hardship. Marcus Megaloconomos, SBS News.